there now. I want to say appreciate you all coming, and thank you to those who are listening. I'm always amazed at how many people show up, especially when you know that I'm going to be here tonight, and you come anyway. So I appreciate it. Long-suffering. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his son judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second was Abiah, and they were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes, and perverted judgment. And then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel and to Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they have said unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And in Jeremiah, you don't have to turn there this evening, I'll just read it. Jeremiah chapter 21, and the Bible says in verse 8, And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you a way of life and a way of death. And in our text this evening in Job chapter 22 and verse 15, the Bible says, Hast thou marked the old way which the wicked men have trodden? Hast thou marked the old way which the wicked men have trodden? Let's pray this evening. Lord, we just want to thank you for your blessings, God, to us, and for allowing us to come into your house, Lord, and the freedom that we have to do that. And God, we just thank you for your love for us and your goodness to us. And God, I pray that your blessing will be on this message this evening, Lord, that you'll give me the words that you'd have to say tonight, Lord, and that you'll just pray, Lord, that you'll till up the ground in our hearts, and God, that you'll work in our lives, that we may serve you and love you with all that's in us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message tonight is Mark the Old Ways. Or if we put a subtitle on it, I'd say that there is a sign. Now, there's a story that I want to tell that there was this guy that he was always putting up a sign for one thing or another. He'd set up a sign. There was maybe they was having a benefit or something for this building that was fixing to tear down, and he put this sign up with all the information on it. And this guy walks up to him, and he's mounting this sign, and he said, "What's that?" And he turned to him, and he said, "That there is a sign." And then a little bit later, he was working on something else. He was putting up a sign, and I don't remember, maybe it was in the grass or something. "Don't walk on the grass." And he said, "What is that?" And he said, "That there is a sign." And he just couldn't believe that people couldn't understand what the sign was. Now, people wasn't having problems understanding what the sign was. They wanted to know what it meant. Why are you having this? Why are you doing this? Or why don't you want me to walk on the grass? Or whatever it was. But he was always saying, "That's a sign." So tonight I want to preach about is signs. If we drive up and down the highways, I notice them a little bit more than some, maybe because I work for the highway department, but there's a lot of signs up and down the road. We got billboards on one side, there are big ones all over the place. We got stop signs, yield signs, merge signs, all kinds of signs that's out there. And we've got the road signs, we've got signs on the paths. If you're just going on a hike or something, signs are pretty important. Because I've went out before, me and my wife have been out hiking, or we went out to go see some, once upon a time we went to see this fall. We was over here in Missouri, and there's this place that's supposed to be this beautiful waterfall. And we went to it, and we're going to see this waterfall. We're all excited. We parked at the place. There's a sign that says this waterfall's back here, so many miles, and we walked back there. I don't like to walk that much. I'd rather had a horse to ride. I'd have been really excited about it then. It'd been a good trip, but we walked. And it was a long ways back there. And we get back there, And we keep seeing these signs that says it's just this much further, and they're telling about it, and they're saying how the water comes off of this hillside, and it comes from over here, and all this stuff. And we get back there to where this thing's at, and they said, here it is. There's a sign that says, this is the falls. And we looked, and we're like, where's the water? There ain't no water. What they failed to tell us was it was a wet weather fall, and it was the middle of the summertime, and there wasn't no water. And we'd hiked, I don't know, honey, it was 3 miles back there or something like that through this thing. Then we had to turn around and walk back to the truck. That was the worst part about it. Didn't even get to see it. But it was very important because, it wasn't a lot. That some of the trails kind of split off here and there. And they had signs set up that said it's this way. So we knew where we was going. And we didn't get off out and found, I'm pretty sure we got to the right spot. Don't think we got lost because we followed the signs. The signs are important. Road signs, we think about them. If the stop sign is down, it's a big thing. We're required to have a stop sign put back up when a stop sign comes down within so many hours because people can die. If that stop sign is not up and you come through there and you run through that intersection, you may get hit, you may have a wreck. So the signs are very important. The signs that I like the best whenever we're going down the highway are the ones that says there's a rest area up here, or there's a Hardee's over there, or a Chick-fil-A. That's the ones that I like. That's the good ones. If we're on a trip and we're looking and it says food ahead, that's the ones that I want to look for. And they're very important. The signs are. And so I never have looked and said, is that a sign? I'm wanting to see what the sign says. I want to know what is important to me. What's this sign trying to tell me? In Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9, the Bible said, who is wise and he shall understand these things? Prudent and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But transgressors shall fall therein. I was thinking the other day, was Adam and Sydney, they just had youngin', it was last Monday, little John, and we're tickled to death, and some people's got a little, they've been telling me you're not supposed to be a grandpa, you're too young, or whatever it is, but I don't know, here we are. And I'm not discouraged about it, I'm pretty excited about it, he's pretty good, and I like him real well. But I got to thinking about my grandparents and my great-grandparents and learning things from my grandpa and different things that he showed me in my life. And I was thinking today about my grandpa Leon told me one time that his grandpa would be my great-great-granddad Anderson. He was a painter. That's what he made his living at. And he painted buildings and he painted signs. He was a sign painter. He painted all them. Used to, you get didn't go get a sticker and slap on a window. Somebody had to paint it on there. And he painted, people's names on windows and billboard signs and street signs, things like this. And he was a painter. Apparently was good at it because that's what he done for his living. And Grandpa Leon, he followed construction most of his life. He built houses and things, and I'm sure that there was many a time that he had to have a paintbrush in his hand. He wasn't painting signs, but he was painting buildings and things like that. And he kind of passed something on to me that I guess I got from him, was he always told me, I don't like to paint. And I don't like to paint either. It's not something that I enjoy. But Grandpa always said, I've heard him say it many times when we was on a job site, he'd say, well, I'm not the painter and I'm not the painter's son, but I'll do the painting until the painter comes. And the painter never did show up. So what I'm trying to tell you tonight is we need to have signs in our lives. The Bible verse in our text in Job that we talked about says that we need to be marking the old paths. We need to be showing people, it says, not only not only in our lives do we need to be showing people God's goodness and God's grace to us, but we have a testimony in our lives that there's things that God brought us out of. There's things that God saved us from. What kind of signs are we giving to others? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good ways, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Tonight I want to ask us, what kind of signs are we giving others? What kind of signs do we have in our homes? What are we showing our family? What do they see from our life? Our children, our grandchildren, family and friends. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19 says, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, hath made shipwreck." I don't want to have Adam's already married. I've still got Benjamin and Caleb and Caitlin at home. I don't want to fail as a husband to my wife. I don't want to fail as a father to those children. Adam, I'm sure him and Sydney, they've already got a home and they've started their own family. But I'm sure, I know as I look to my dad sometimes for guidance, and I look to my dad, as Pastor talked about this morning, what would happen if he blew out? And I look to my dad in that way. And I know that my family is still looking to me in that way. And now that I have a grandson on his, and I'm sure that at some point he's going to be looking to me as, what's Grandpa going to do? Or what's Grandpa think about this? I know the same way that I have about my grandparents and my father. But what kind of signs am I giving them? What kind of instruction am I telling them? Am I going to lead them on to something that's going to cause them a shipwreck? What does our family see in our everyday life? Is it just a set of rules? As Pastor talked about the law this morning, or is it because of God's love in me and God's love for me? Whenever we tell our children and we tell our family and our friends and the people around us that we're putting up signs and we're saying, yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't go there. I don't allow my children to watch these movies, or I don't allow this to go on in our home. We're not going to be a part of this. We're not going to tell these kind of stories, these jokes. We're not going to listen to this kind of stuff. And we put up a sign that says we're standing aside. We're standing up a standard. But I think sometimes in our home, it's important for our children and our families to understand why. You know, it's all good and fine to have a stop sign out here at the intersection. It's up to me whether I'm going to stop or not. And it's the same way with our families. We can put up a sign and we can put up rules and say, we can say you're not going to go here, and we can train up our children and we can show them this is the way that God wants us to live. But it's up to them to figure out whether that's going to be their decisions, their God. They're going to have to make them idea whether they're going to stop or not. Just like that stop sign. I think it's very important that we understand, why is it that I should stop? I know there's sometimes that I've been going down a street, and there was one place in particular that I remember that it seemed like that town, I don't know if they got a discount sale on stop signs or what the deal was there, but they had stop signs everywhere. Now, there's three-way stops, four-way stops, two-way stops. There was just a stop just because. It was like, well, why are we stopping here? Well, it's because the sign said stop, but I don't know why. And it was like, why are we doing this? And then, after a while, you get to thinking, well, this is a bunch of baloney. There's no sense to this. Let's just go. And I'm sure that they had a reason for putting up all them stop signs. I don't know what it was, but there was surely a logical reason to it. But I think it's important in our homes to show our families, not only the Bible says in Job there that we need to mark the old paths and the ways that the wicked have trodden. So what I'm trying to tell us tonight is I think it's important for us to let people know where we've come from, what God has saved us from, where God has taken us from. You know, it's one thing for me to tell my children, I don't want you watching that kind of movie. I don't want you going to these kind of places, and we're not going to do that kind of stuff. But if I don't tell them why or what got, you know, the reason behind that or what I'm thinking and behind that, you know, we're not going there because it's dangerous for you. We're not going, we're not going to allow my daughter to go and do these things out on her own because there's predators out there, okay? I'm not going to allow her to hang around with just any guy that walks up because it's not going to be a safe situation. I'm not going to allow somebody to come in and steal her heart or my sons to go out and just run around and do whatever it is that they feel like they want to do with no restraints. Because that's not what God's will is for them, first of all. But the second place is they need to understand what can happen. Where are you going to go? What does this lead to? How's this music going to affect you? How are these friends going to affect your decision-making process? Some things I've learned from the Bible, some things I've learned from watching others, and sometimes I've learned things the hard way. The lessons that I learned the hard way are probably the ones that I remember the best. But I don't want my children and I don't want others to have to go through that same situation. What kind of signs are we putting up in our home? I think it's important for them to understand that there's some things I used to do that I don't do no more because the Lord made a change in me. I think it's important for them to understand also that God has given us a testimony. And how important it is not to mar that testimony. When I was very young, Grandpa had bought a plaque. And it had, he got one for himself and one for Dad and one for me. And I can't remember, maybe great-granddad may have had one too. I don't remember. But it was this little sign, this little plaque in it. They'd typed our names in the top of it. There was a little blank there, and they put Hopper at the top of it. And I remember that thing so well because it said, you got it from your father. It was all he had to give. And I can't remember all of it, Mom. Some of it is skipping me. But the gist of it was clean the day you got it. And you need to make sure you pass it on the same way. And God's given us a testimony. Not only just in our family and our homes, but to others around us in our church. And we have a testimony that God has saved me or kept me from having these problems in my life. God has been gracious to me and not allowed me to be able to have to go through some things. And we hear a lot of people get up and you say, boy, this person had a great testimony. They were saved out of the drugs and the sex and the drunkenness and all this stuff that they were living in. And God came in and moved in their lives and they were saved from all that stuff. And God's power drug them out of that mud and that junk and cleaned them up. And now they're serving the Lord. And you say, that's a wonderful testimony. And it is. But I want to tell you tonight, I think a better testimony is a young man or a young woman that didn't go through that junk. That God got a hold of them at a young age in their life and allowed them to serve Him and to live right and to stay pure and to stay clean and not have to go through all those hardships and those battles and problems in their lives. And that's what we need to be passing on to our families and our homes. And we need to be showing these signs. Now I need to move on this evening. But secondly, in our church, what kind of signs do we show our people in our church? When visitors come walking through that door, are we showing them the love of Christ? Are we giving them hospitality? Are we looking at people that's coming in, making them feel welcome? Are we being critical of them, or what is it that we're doing for visitors? I want to think about our here at Liberty Faith Church. You know, there's several things that we stand for in this church and in this community and are all around. There's a lot of people that they understand the things that are coming from this pulpit. They know what's being preached here. They know that when we go out of this church and we go out and live our lives, they're like, oh, you go to that church there, I can tell. I've had people ask me, I've invited people to church before. I said, you can come to church. Where'd you go? Well, we go up there to Liberty Faith. No, we couldn't go there. And some people don't. This ain't the church for everybody. But they say, we couldn't go to church. But yeah, because they don't, you all wouldn't approve of my clothes. Or I don't want to use the same Bible that you do. Or I don't this, or whatever it is. And there's a sign, there's a thing, there's a standard that we put out in the community. And it's not the church, it's not the pastor, it's not the things that's preaching, it's God's love in us and God's love through us that we can live these things out around the people that's coming up to us. On our Bible, where do we stand on our Bible? The King James Bible. What kind of sign do we hold up with our Bibles? I know we believe here at this church that this is God's authorized, perfectly preserved Word. The other versions and variations and translations and whatever they might be have changed things, and it's not the same. And if it's not the same, it's not perfect. It's not preserved. It's got to be, you know, where is it at? And I think we believe that pretty, as a group, we pretty well understand that. But how do we deal with people that we meet? You know, I have a guy that I come into contact with the other day, and we somehow or another we got on this topic about the Bible and whether God's Word is preserved. And he was talking about the Greek and the Hebrew, and we're gonna have to look it up and see what this says. And I don't know what this word's, you know, means that it's, I've got to find out. And he was saying, I've checked out this Bible and I've looked at that Bible and I go to the King James for reference sometimes, but then I have to go look it up in the Greek. And I said, no, God's Word is preserved. It's there. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to go through all that. And he said, well, how can you be so sure? And I said, it's this simple. Either God's true or God's a liar. God said His Word is preserved, and He's preserved it for us. And if I've got to try to find it somewhere, then He's lied to me. And if He's lied to me about that, then everything else is a joke, and I'm blowed out. We're done with this thing. And he said, you know, I said, I can kind of talk to you. We can talk about this and discuss it if you're open to listen, but I'm not just going to argue with you. I'm not here to argue with you or fight about this thing. It's, you know, if you're willing to listen, or you want to read some literature that can kind of explain it a little bit better than I can, I'll be glad to help you out in that way. But where do we stand when we meet people like that? What kind of a sign do we put up? Now, if I would have went off and just said, you know what, you're using an ESV, you're nuts. That thing's messed up. If you ain't got the King James, I don't even want to talk to you. We're done. That ain't the right kind of sign. We need to be putting out the kind of signs to people that they can get the message, but we need to be giving it to them in love as well. And I think he was open to listening. He said he'd be glad to read some stuff or talk about it some more. Where does our preaching from the pulpit, our singing and our witnessing? We should be pointing the way to Christ. People need to see that they're a Savior, that they're in need of a Savior. The Bible says we need to mark the ways in which the wicked man have trodden because we love them. We're not pointing out signs, and we're not jumping on to people because they're wrong. When I see somebody walking down the street or I see somebody that's posting stuff on Snapagram or FaceChat or what's that, Stutter, or whatever them other things are. And they get on there and they're posting about, they're having a good time and they're out drinking and they're, and they're doing these things and that things, and I've got family members that have they want to live as wicked as hell itself. I mean, in some bad situations. And I think my Lord, we pray for them and we want them to God to get a hold of them in that kind of way, but do I come out and show them a sign and say, look how wicked you are. Look how dirty and despicable and filthy you're living. I want to show them what the truth is. We got to remember that we're dealing with dying people on their way to hell. And it's a serious condition. Now, I was asked to do a funeral week before last. It was the week before Christmas. And there was a man that I used to work with. His son had died. 34 years old. Cancer. As far as I know, he wasn't saved. And the man called me and he asked me to... First, he wanted to know, could I be a pallbearer for his son? He said, we don't have no family around here. He said, only friends I got, some of you guys that we used to work around. I said, yeah, I'd be glad to help you out if I can. And he called me back and he wanted to know, could I preach a service for him? He said, if you don't want to, I understand. I'll not be upset. I said, I'll do that for you. And he said, well, Jeremy, he said, just be honest with you. You're the only religious person I know. And he said, I don't know a preacher one. And he said, I don't know anybody that even really goes to church. And I thought, what a sad, sad, hopeless situation to be in. That you don't even know. I said, first of all, have mercy on you if you think that I'm the most spiritual person you know. My goodness. But to not even know a preacher or not even know any of that. And I told him I would. I'd do the service for him. And there wasn't a lot of people there, but the ones what was there, they got the gospel give to them. But it's probably one of the toughest messages that I ever done. Not looking forward to doing another one. Because knowing that that young man is probably in hell. Trying to be compassionate and caring to the family. But at the same time, they need the truth. And I hope that I was able to I know that I gave them scripture and I know that I gave them a message that God laid on my heart that for that day. But it was a tough deal. And that's what I'm talking about tonight, is what kind of a sign are we putting out to others? You know, first of all, he comes to me and he says, you know, you're the only religious, spiritual type person that I know. And this man, I'd witnessed to him before. I'd given him the gospel before. When we was working together. And it was just kind of a sad day for me. But I think maybe God, you know, we sowed some seed there and the Lord will take care of that. But what is people seeing from us in a day by day basis? When we go to work, what are we talking about outside of the church house? What kind of signs do we put up? What kind of message What kind of marks are we giving people as we go to the job site? When we're driving through town, when we go to the store, I think I can probably get more upset at anything whenever I'm going shopping or going to the store. That really bothers me. That's why my wife does most of the shopping. But I went to the store the other day. I decided I was going to try to buy a Christmas present. And I got started early, Christmas Eve. It wasn't late at night. And I went in the store and it was busy. There was a lot of people there, just like me. A lot of guys looking for something for their wife. I didn't like being there. Nobody else liked being there. And it just wasn't a happy day. But I think we all got in and got out without nobody killing one another. But, that really can try my patience. I don't look a whole lot like a preacher or a Christian whenever I go to Walmart. I kind of get this mean look on my face. And I'm in a hurry. And I'm going to find what I need, and then I'm mad because when I get to the cash register, there's somebody else there. Because I want out. And somebody told me one time, if you put a mean look on your face and you walk around like you're mad, people won't bother you. And it works. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it." I want to say to us tonight that even when we're at the grocery store on Christmas Eve trying to find something for your wife, we need to be pointing the way for others around us. We need to be having a sign up. Because it says that way that leadeth to life is hard to find. And that's what we need the sign for. I'm about done this evening, but what about our nation? Our country tonight. As our lands and our, seems like the news media and politicians and the people that are being reported on all the time and things that say they're trying to move away from the Constitution and they're trying to move away from our biblical foundation of our country and they're trying to push us towards socialism and they're trying to push these godless laws on us and they're trying to push these godless ideals on us and these thoughts and things and all these the sodomites and the abortion crowd and all this stuff that's going on in our country today that they're pushing these things on us. What are we doing as a Christian people? What are we doing as a church, as individuals? What kind of a sign do we show to those? What kind of a standard do we hold up to those people? And you say, well, what can I do whenever there's this movement and this thing and this, what's going on? Well, we can talk to people and we can show people the truth from God's Word. And we can show others that, hey, you're not the only one that believes this way, or you're wrong because this is what God's Word says. You know, we've heard that most people, their favorite verse in the Bible is, "Judge not lest you be judged," and that we need to not be telling people that they're wrong and throwing judgments out at everybody because this is what I want to do. You ain't got no right to judge me. Even your Bible tells me that. No, that's not the truth. The Bible says that we need to judge. The Bible says that we need to tell people what's truth. And we need to show people what's right and what's wrong. But it's not my ideal. It's not my opinion. It's God's Word. I'm not the one that's making the judgment. I'm not the one that's trying to say what's right or wrong. It's what God says. And we need to be holding up those principles. And we need to be marking those ways. And this socialism movement that's in our country today, the Bible says in Job that we need to mark those old paths that the wicked have trodden on. And there's history and proof and things that we can show, hey, look, this is what this does. This is the path that we're trying to go down. These are the things that's going to happen if we continue down this situation. And there's even things from the Bible that we can point out that is kind of mirrored with America today, the way the nation of Israel had done things, that they had left God and quit serving God, and they were serving these other gods and these false gods, and they were going off on different things. I heard something the other day on this push. There was a clip that I was watching, and this guy, he had on a hat, Make America Great Again hat, and this lady, she confronted him about it, and she said, "What makes you think that we need to make America great again? When did we cease to be a great nation? When was we a great nation?" And basically started off on this Hate America campaign, a flag stomper and all this stuff, that America never has been a great nation, and how can we be great again when we've never been that way? Well, I want to tell you that America has been a great nation, it can still be a great nation. It was a great nation when we loved God and when we served God. And when it starts in our homes, and it starts in our families. It starts in our church houses. When there was a love of God, because the people in America had a love of God, and they shared that love among everybody else, we put up a sign and we held up the pads and we said, "This is wrong, this is wicked, this ain't right." The ones that didn't have a love for God had a fear of God, because they were hearing from those Christian people, the ones that love God, this is what God's Word says. This is what God thinks about this situation. Because we were showing them a path. At that time, sin was not something that was celebrated, but it was a shame. I can remember in my lifetime, and I'm not that old, I just turned to Grandpa. But I can remember in my lifetime things that was a shame. In this country, right here in Norwood, sin still went on. But it was a shameful thing when people were living together. It was a shameful thing when somebody had a child outside of marriage. And it was kind of we just didn't talk about it, and it was a kind of a hushed deal, and it's not something that we're going to celebrate. And I've seen today, people say, "Oh, look, my daughter, she's fixing to have a young one." Who didn't even know she'd got married? Well, she ain't. And we're being excited about it. She's got one on the way. I'm going to be a grandpa, and I'm going to do this. And it's a happy time. No, it's not. It's a shame. No, it's not that youngin's fault. It's not that baby's fault. And it's not something that, you know, we need to have love for them people, but they need to be told the truth. They need to have a sign set up. They need to have some kind of a path marked out, this old path that we've got away from, these old paths that the wicked have trod on, and we'd say, "Look, this was wicked. This person done this sin. This person committed this thing, and it was a wicked thing." And we're not showing people the wickedness anymore. We're kind of pushing it under the rug. We cover it up. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And it's a shame today that Christian people in the past weren't viewed as intolerant. They weren't viewed as discrimination or bigots, because we told people that was wrong. Somebody that stood up for God's Word and they stood up for right was somebody that was to be respected, because they would stand up and they would tell you the truth. Might not like it. Sometimes it's hard to have the truth told to us. Sometimes it don't feel good. But I know somebody that's going to stand up and tell me the truth. I know one thing about them. They love me. I had a guy one time I don't even remember where I was at, but I came out of the bathroom and somehow I'd stepped on a paper towel that had been thrown on the floor. And it was on my boot heel, and I came walking out the restroom dragging this paper towel. I didn't even know it was there. As I walked out the door, this guy, I met him, and he stopped, and he said, "Hey." I turned around, and he said, "Let me tell you something. You don't want to be walking around like that." And I was like, "Okay." Well, he goes, "I'm serious. You might want to go back in there and check yourself out." And he was serious. And I act like he was mad about it, and I didn't know what to think. And I said, "Is there a problem?" He goes, "The problem is on your boot." And I looked down, sure enough, I had a paper towel or something. And I drug that thing. But you know what? I thought that guy was mad at me at first, but then I found out the guy cared about me. I didn't know him from nobody. But he cared enough about me to tell me you might want to go take care of that. It ain't no different today than what we need to be doing as Christians. That's a little thing and it's funny, but you know what we need to be doing as Christians is we need to be coming up to people personally and we need to be talking to them. We need to say, "Look, you don't need to be walking around like that. You're in danger. You don't need to be going there. You don't need to be doing that kind of stuff. God's going to judge you for those things. Look what can happen. Look what God's Word says is going to happen if you keep walking around like that and doing that." And we need to be going out and telling people. We need to be letting people know that there's signs, that there's warning signs, there's danger ahead. I think about on them brush hogs and equipment and stuff, there's these little signs, they got people wrapped up around PTO shafts and things like that. I mean, it's so simple that you can't even pick up a can of deodorant without having a warning sign on it. "Do not put this on your eyes," you know. But we don't show God's warning signs to people as we come into contact with them. If you'll turn with me real quick, the last scripture this evening, to Isaiah chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 6. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet. And with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts.' Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not.'" So my message to us tonight is, have you marked the old ways with the wicked man, which the wicked man have trodden? Have you told people about danger? This last passage of scripture that we read, he said, "You know, I'm a man of unclean lips. I feel that way." But that coal has been taken and applied and purged the sin out of our lives. Are we going to tell people about that? Are we going to tell people where we've come from? Once that blood has been applied to our lives, once God has saved you, once you've had Jesus in your come into your heart, you're a whole different person. And we see in verse 8, he's saying, just one verse later, he said, I was unclean lips and woe is me. And then one verse later, he said, here I am, send me. I'm ready. Who's going to go tonight? Who's going to tell the people? What kind of sign are we going to show in our lives? If you'll stand with me this evening, we dismiss in prayer.